Today's message is titled, Focusing Your Spiritual Energy. Focusing your spiritual energy. And as a heads up, this morning's message is going to involve the familiar. We're going to look at a familiar truth and a couple of familiar passages. But there's also going to be an element of fresh, meaning that at the end of the message, we're going to go someplace that I don't think you are expecting us to go. So you're going to have this familiar subject, and you're going to be bopping along, yeah, yeah, mm-hmm, yeah, yeah, yeah. But don't be deceived, because when we get to the end of the message, I want you to hear something that may, for many of you, be very unfamiliar. But I think you will also find that it is absolutely biblical and true. So this morning's message is titled, Focusing Your Spiritual Energy. And this month, our series of messages in January are about liberty and love. The liberty that Christ has given us, and we spoke about this in Sunday school, the great truth that the Lord has freed us to worship Him, freed us to get to know Him in ways that perhaps our upbringing did not teach us, or maybe we're growing in as a result of our teaching and our upbringing. But the Lord is freeing us to a relationship with Him that is absolutely amazing, magnificent. And what He wants us to do with that liberty is the focus of this month. Liberty and love. So we're going to be speaking about those two things, or speaking this morning about love. The daughter of my friend and my guitar teacher, who I call Bobby B, she made a video and posted it on Facebook. It was the cutest thing. It was a video of 2018, all of 2018, every day of 2018, 1 second at a time. A one second video flash of every day in 2018. And I watched it and I was so moved by it that I showed Laverne. And we were both moved by it. I posted it on Kara, my daughter's Facebook page, because it's the kind of thing she would do. But my guitar teacher, as he posted it, he wrote, I'm so proud of my daughter, and check this out. It had me tearing up and crying, and it had us tearing up and crying. We don't even know his daughter. But I thought about that video, and I thought, you know, our lives are like that. Compared to eternity, the scripture says our lives are like a vapor. We're living every day as though this day is going to be, you know, that we're going to be like this forever. We wake up in the morning and we don't have a sense of eternity. We wake up just, I'm going to make it through this day. And hopefully I'll finish enough this day so tomorrow won't be as bad as today, or I'll be more successful tomorrow. And we're constantly thinking of the next day. And that's how we live, just propelled from one day, almost, you know, slingshot it from one day to the next. And that's how we live our lives day by day. Which is why Moses said in Psalm 91, teach us to number our days. Teach us, because it's not something we do normally, Lord. It's not something that's in our human DNA. Our human DNA does not think about eternity. We're oriented towards the temporal. So teach us to number our days. The scripture says our lives are like a vapor. It says we brought nothing into the world and we can take nothing out of it. all the stuff that we accumulate and we value and we think so important, you brought nothing into the world. And you can take nothing from it. Nothing out of it. And all you need to do is just look at ancient burial grounds or take a peek into the pyramids. And no matter how they tried to prepare them for the next life, the stuff they put in there is still there.
That's right. Sometimes some people took it.
Yeah, the people who took it aren't the ones that are departed. They're the ones that are still walking around. You brought nothing into this world, and you can take nothing out of it.
Right.
So we are wise to focus our spiritual energy. We're wise to focus it in the light of that. So I have four questions this morning. Four questions. And one primary verse as our text. Excuse me. So here's the first question. What is God's will for me in 2019? Small question, right? Let's start small. What is God's will for me in 2019? When I was a younger believer, we used to have these conferences that we would go to. The Christian organization that I was a part of, we had these annual conferences that took place in the winter, and we would go to these, and there would be speakers who would come in, and they'd speak on the theme of God's will for your life. And it was a challenging thing for young believers who had the view of, I'm here to conquer the world. Give me what I need to go out and change the world. You know, the youthful vigor and the youthful optimism and the youthful I can do anything was harnessed by these speakers, and they put it in the framework of God's will for your life. And at that time, they used Matthew 28:19-20. All power has been given unto me, heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, teaching them all that I've commanded you, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Make disciples of all the nations. Get charged up. Make the most of your life. Make it count, because you've only got this much time, young people. Before you know it, you'll wake up and you'll be 60. Make the most of your time. How are we going to do that? Acts 1:8. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in Judea and Samaria and all the other parts of the earth. So there's a progression, young people. You start in your Jerusalem, and then you spread out to your Samaria and then to the ends of the earth. But you should be planning to go to all the ends of the earth. You should not be thinking about settling down with a family, living a nice Christian life. What is it going to matter when Jesus comes back? Make disciples of all the nations. The only thing that matters is whether people are going to spend eternity in heaven or hell. Get out there and preach the gospel. Sounds convincing, doesn't it? For a 20-something-year-old, I was all in. And I did it. I mean, I didn't reach the whole world, and I did turn 60. But I appreciate that. Believe it or not, I'm saying it. I'm not mocking it. I'm saying it because it was passionately presented, and I received it, I absorbed it, and I obeyed it to the best of my ability. And because the Lord is gracious, as we were speaking about in Sunday school, He takes all things. I don't care what you've been instructed in your Christian life. It hasn't been wasted. I don't care if the person that was speaking was as far off as left as the east is from the west. See, what they said to you is secondary. What God did with what they said to you is primary. And God works through our fallibility. Thank God. I certainly wouldn't be standing up here before you if I didn't think He did. Lord, please take my insufficiency, my inadequacy, my incompleteness, and use it for your purposes. And I have no doubt that those brothers that were preaching to us 20-somethings, 20-something year olds, had that same aspiration and passion and desire. But as I have turned 60, I've learned something. And I would like to think that it's a product of God's grace. And that is, when we think about what it means to make the most of your life, when we think about God's will, there are certain passages that are inescapable that we need to consider. And one of those is this. What is God's will for me in 2019? 1 Corinthians 16:14. That's our text verse, and it's also the main idea for you main idea writers. 1 Corinthians 16:14. Do everything in love. I think the New American Standard Bible says, let all that you do be done in love. Do everything in love. There are two big ideas I want you to think about for a second under this first question, what's God's will for me in 2019, and the verse, 1 Corinthians 16:14. I want you to think about devotion, and I want you to think about love. Those are two big ideas that if we focus on them, we cannot lose. And if we lose sight of them, we cannot win. Devotion meaning our relationship with the Lord. Devotion not meaning what we do for the Lord. Devotion meaning the quality of our relationship with Him, not our productivity for Him. It's who He is to me. When I think about devotion, it has to do with my personal relationship with the living Christ. We spent November and December talking about that. We spent November talking about walking with Christ. And I believe it was in November that we talked about the us factor. And we spent December talking about the gospel, what it is that Jesus came to do. Both of those things have to do with devotion, have to do with understanding our relationship with Him. And prayerfully, my goal is every message will contain those elements. Every single message I give will contain that element of devotion and speaking about who Jesus is to us and who we are to Him. And this message is no exception. But those two ideas, devotion and love, if we focus on those two things, we cannot lose. And if we lose sight of them, we cannot win. It's about keeping the main thing, the main thing. The main thing, the main thing. Now, you may have a lot of goals. You may have a lot of dreams, but whatever you produce in 2019, The scripture says, let the brand name, let it have the brand of love. Whatever you're manufacturing, whatever your output may be in 2019, let it be done in love. Let it have the brand love. If it doesn't carry that brand, it may look good. It may feel good. Others may be impressed by it. But in light of eternity, it's wasted. It's nothing. It's nothing. I love the verse that here in 1 Corinthians 16 that we just looked at about let all that you do be done in love. And I like the verse that precedes it, which says this, be on your guard, stand firm in the faith, be men of courage, be strong. I like that because, see, men, and I'm speaking to you for just a second, men, when we think of being strong, when we think of being courageous, when we think of being tough, when we think about being a man's man, love is not the thing that generally pops up. We think about being tough, persevering, fixing it, making it happen, driving. We think of things like that. And that's why I love this verse, because it says, be on your guard. That's a manly thing. Stand firm. That's a manly thing. Stand firm in the faith. Be men of courage. Be strong. All that's tough. That, we like that. That says, we say yes to that. That resonates with us. And then he says, do everything in love. Tough guy. Macho man. All those things. Yeah, you got you. I got you. I got you. Yeah. Do everything in love. What? I like it because it helps to dispense with that notion that somehow when it comes to manliness, love is not a part of the equation. It's a soft thing. So what is love? That's the second question. We're still in the familiar. Okay? Stay with me. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 13. How many times have you heard this verse, this passage? How many of you know what I'm getting ready to read before I even read it? 1 Corinthians 13. Let me see your hands. If you know, let me just see your hands. If you know what 1 Corinthians 13 is before I read, okay, good. And the rest of you will know once I start, because you have certainly heard it. What is love? 1 Corinthians 13. I'm going to start in verse 1. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels but have not love, I'm only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains but have not love, I am nothing. Who wants to be nothing? We want to be something, don't we? We want to be something in 2019. A lot of us want to be something else. We want to be effective. We want to be productive. We want to be better. But here it says, if I don't have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames, but have not love, I gain nothing. I'm spinning my wheels. I gain nothing. I think I've gotten ahead. I think I've made progress, but I've gained nothing. No matter what I have accumulated, if I've operated outside of the realm of love, I don't have anything. It may look impressive in my house. It may look impressive on my body. Others may be telling me what a great job I did. But I have gained nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It's not proud. It's not rude. It's not self-seeking. Ouch. It's not self-seeking. It's not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Shall we sing Jesus Keep Me Near the Cross? Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they'll be stilled. Where there's knowledge, it's going to pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when perfection comes, the imperfect disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put childish ways behind me. Now we see but a poor reflection in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part. Then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And now these three remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these, the greatest of these is love. It's greater than faith. It's greater than hope. The greatest of these is love. Now, we could go on and on about what love is. I mean, books have been written. Plays have been written. Tomes have been written. But you won't get a better description than 1 Corinthians 13. Nor will you have more to do. If we could just do this, if we could just get here, we don't need books. Lord, help me get past verses 6 through 9. This much text is enough to keep us busy for the rest of our lives. Amen? I don't know about you, but keeping no records of wrong sticks me every time. Because I think I deserve to keep my records. I like to hold on little phrases like, I forgive you, but I ain't going to forget.
I know that's right.
Those are nice little convenient things. They help me out.
Yeah.
But that's not what it's saying. Love is patient. Patient. It's kind. Doesn't envy. It's not jealous. I mean, you just start going through that and you say, wow. Wow. Now, this is familiar because this is the part where usually you start to feel ashamed. And this is the part where you usually feel inadequate. And this is the part where, you know, usually what will happen is whoever is speaking will hammer on the fact that these things need to be in our lives. This is where we change, though. But first, another question. What about the rest of the scriptures, Pastor? Pastor, I've known you how many years now? And you talk about love more than any pastor I know. What about the rest of the scriptures? And some get surly and mean, and none of you. Those who get surly and mean about it aren't here anymore, but because I kept on talking about it. Pastor, you need to preach the full counsel of God. Have you heard that before? The whole counsel of God. It ain't just about love. You got to preach some other stuff. One guy told me, Pastor, you need to kick me in the butt more. I need you to kick me in the butt more. And some people, for some reason, are not able to see how 1 Corinthians 13:6 is kicking them in the butt. Somehow that doesn't feel vigorous enough. And I look at that and I think, boy, this is kicking me in the butt. Yes. I don't know what you want. What kind of a challenge are you looking for? Right. This challenges me. If I have an intent to do more than to recite it or memorize it or share it at a wedding. What about the rest of Scripture? The Bible is a thick book. It's got a lot of stuff in it. And the Lord knows that most of us won't read it from cover to cover. He knows us. And so he gave us the Cliff Notes. And he gave us the abbreviated, condensed version of what it's all about. And that's in Romans 13. And I'd like you to turn there. And you've heard me share this verse, and I'm going to share it again, because this first message is about orienting us to what is important. What is worthy of the moments that we have on this earth, which are uncertain. The moments where we're praying, Lord, teach us to number our days. Romans 13, verses 8 through 10. Let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another. For he who loves his fellow man has fulfilled the law, the full counsel of God. You've done it. He who has loved his neighbor, loves his fellow man, has fulfilled the law. Because the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not covet, and whatever other commandment there may be, whatever other commandment there may be. You may have some other verses off in the periphery and out in the atmosphere and out in the solar system and out here somewhere, but the scripture here clearly says whatever verses you've got, they're summed up in this. This one rule, love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to its neighbor, therefore love is the fulfillment of the law. He says it at the beginning in verse 8 there, and he says it again in verse 10. He who loves his fellow man has fulfilled the law, it says in verse 8. And then down in verse 10, it says, therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. I never get tired of this verse. It's anchoring. It's liberating. It's clarifying. It's solid. See, I may not know exactly what the Bible has to say about a lot of things. I may not know what the Bible has to say about how I should approach every situation. But I know how I want to be treated. See, God, let me break it down for you. How do you want to be treated? I want people to be patient with me. I want people to be kind. I want 1 Corinthians 13. Give me 1 Corinthians 13. Love is patient. Love is kind. Don't be jealous of me. Don't be envious of me. Don't hold me to something I did 5 years ago. I don't want you to do that to me. right? I look at that list, and if I'm thinking about receiving that, I say, yeah. I say, yeah, that's how I want to be treated. I may even go so far as that's how I deserve to be treated. Be patient with me. I'm trying the best I can. Be kind to me. I'm struggling. Don't be jealous. I ain't trying to show off. I'm just trying to live. Don't snip at me and be petty. I know how I want to be treated. And the Lord has given us here in Romans 13, he says, how do you want to be treated? Treat them. Treat others that way. You don't need to be a scholar. You just need to know how you want to be treated. You know that. Because when you're not treated that way, how do you act? So you know. You have a sense of being offended and hurt and harmed when you are not treated well. Treat others that way. And you are fulfilling the whole scripture. That's astonishing to me. From Genesis to Revelation, it's all summed up in this. Love your neighbor as yourself. Are you kidding me, God? That can't be right, Pastor. It can't be. Shall we read it again? You see, because our minds can't grasp that. It's got to be more complicated than that. No, it's simple. It's just not easy. And this is not the only place this is repeated. I mean, this is written. James says the same thing. Peter says the same thing. Jesus said the thing in the Gospels. It's not just an isolated text off somewhere. James calls it the royal law. Peter says, above all, be fervent in your love for one another. And that verse about go and make disciples of all the nations that I quoted early on, Matthew 28:19-20, Acts 1:8. Jesus made it simple. A new commandment I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you. And then he says this, by this, all men will know you are my disciples. If you love one another. He didn't say, all men will know you're my disciples if you're out there banging on every door. They will know you are my disciples if you love one another. It's all over the place. As I said, if we understand devotion, that is this whole relationship between how we behave and who our God is. We understand that. And then we understand love. We can't miss. But if we ignore those, if we miss them, we can't win. We're straining a gnat and swallowing a camel. We're missing the forest for the trees. So what about the rest of the scriptures? Romans 13. Every other commandment is in some way connected to how we treat others. This past Christmas morning was the first that Laverne and I actually had a chance to spend time alone together since we've been married. First Christmas morning that we were actually just in the house by ourselves celebrating Christmas morning. And we actually had a chance to read our cards that we were given to one another and actually had a little time to make commentary about why we gave each other those cards. And then we were able to open our gifts. And then we prayed for our kids. They were still there in prayer. Out of sight, but never out of mind. Doesn't matter whether they're sitting there at the tree with you. You're still thinking about them, still praying for them. They are with us like the Lord's mercy, following us all the days of our life. So we prayed for them. And I was so touched by my wife's prayer that I wrote it down and I thanked the Lord for it. And I pray it I've prayed it since then. And her prayer was, Lord, help us to love them in such a way that they are attracted to your light and your love. Yes. Lord, help us to love them in such a way that they are attracted to your light and your love. Doesn't get any better than that. And the Lord is helping us. He's coaching all of us as to how to do that. Love is patient. Love is kind. So it's not just, you know, how much my heart is full of emotion. That's certainly part of it. And affection, certainly a part of it. But love is patient. Love is kind. Does not take into account a wrong suffered. And finally, and here's the last part in the change. What do I do when my love gear is stuck? What do I do when my love gear is stuck in neutral, or even worse, stuck in reverse? What do I do when my love gear is stuck in neutral, or even worse, reverse? Now, there are a number of things that can cause our love gear to malfunction. When people are unappreciative, no matter what I do, you don't appreciate it. When people are unaffected, they're a black hole. You just keep loving and loving, and it just sucked up and disappears. When people are unreasonable, I cannot possibly be what that person expects me to be. But let me tell you all something. I love you all. I love you dearly. But here's what I would suggest. Aim higher. Don't try harder. Aim higher. What do you do when your love gear is stuck? I'm not saying try harder. I'm saying aim higher. And what do I mean by that? I mean, I love you all dearly. And I pray for you all dearly, and I carry for you in my heart the affection of Christ Jesus. But the truth of the matter is, I'm after something greater than being a marvelous pastor to you all. I'm after a deeper faith in the God I'm preaching about. And being a pastor is the means to that end. See, as I work on, as I talk to, as I try to, as I strive for, as I look to the Lord to continue to develop my faith and to continue to develop my walk with Him, my relationship with Him is growing. And that is my focal point. Being a pastor is the means. Being a husband is the means to a deeper faith in the God I'm preaching about. Being a father is the means to a deeper faith. Being a sibling, even being more loving, as we're talking about here today, being more loving is not the end. You see, being more loving is not the end. That's a means to the end. Because as I am wrestling with the Lord about being loving, and as I am taking to Him my unloveliness about being unloving, as I'm taking to Him my stumbling about loving and my unwillingness to love, my being tired of loving, my being frustrated because my love is not being returned, as I am taking all of that and not abandoning His instruction to love, not being defeated by His instructions to love, even though they're intense and beyond me. Yes, they're beyond me. But no matter how long I wrestle with, love keeps no record of wrongs. It's not about how successful I am in conquering that. It's about the process by which I am wrestling with it. And with whom? It's what's going on as I am seeking him about this issue that's nagging me. It's what's happening in our relationship as I am looking to him to make this a reality in my life. You hear what I'm saying? And what I found is this. My relationship with him, as I focus on that, it gives me a sensitivity to love and an inspiration to love that I could never attain through all my striving. See, striving lets me do the tasks. It helps me to do the details and the particulars. But as I am in connection with him and communion with him, and as I am building my relationship with him with this, what happens is as my relationship with him grows, a sensitivity to love grows. The flow of love is stronger. The inspiration to love, the awareness of even what love is in a given moment increases. A friend of mine, I asked some friends of mine to give me a one-word description of what they think about me as a self-evaluation tool that I use at the end of the year. And one of my friends said, devoted. And I didn't like that. It got a bad rap in my mind initially because I looked at it as just, you know, raw commitment and duty. You know, this devoted person, this dutiful, you know, religious person. And I didn't really like that. But then I looked it up. And then I liked it. Because devotion means inspired by affection and adoration and admiration. Inspired by affection and adoration and admiration. And I said, okay, yeah, that's good. I like that. If that's what it means, because that's how I see it in the scriptures, is that the Lord wants us to be inspired. He wants us to be drawn by admiration. He wants us to be drawn by affection, adoration. And if that's what my friend meant, I say, hey, hallelujah. Yeah, I'll take it. I'll wear it with honor. Because that's what we're talking about. And now as we launch a new year, you're perhaps pondering resolutions and maybe not. Maybe you're resolved to not make a resolution. But remember that the goals we set in life are not the same as our purpose in life. Our goals are the things we want. Our purpose is what God wants for us. Yes. And it's only through our relationship with him that our true purpose can be experienced and appreciated. So therefore, don't resolve in 2019 to do great things, but rather resolve to day by day surrender our meager abilities to a great God who has called us into fellowship with him in accordance with his purposes for our lives. I said, Lord, I'm just a regular old person. I told him the other day. I'm just a regular old ordinary person. I ain't no better than anybody else. I'm no better than anybody else, and I'm not trying to be. I'm just seeking connection with you. You are the difference. Finally, it says, the Lord is your keeper. Psalm 121:5. The Lord is your keeper. And this was the most powerful idea that came into my mind the other day. And I said, thank you, Lord, for keeping me in every sense of the word. And it's a big word. Its basic definition is a person who manages or looks after something or someone. And its synonyms include guardian, protector, defender, guard, bodyguard, escort. Is there a better word that summarizes the expression of the Lord's love and grace towards us? In our quest to love. In our quest to love, let's remember that the Lord is our keeper. And 1 year ago, I said this, today, I encourage you to spend some time with the Lord today with one primary focus: to enjoy Him. To enjoy Him specifically by believing, in accordance with what the Scriptures teach, by believing that He enjoys you. Spend time with the Lord today with one primary purpose: to enjoy Him. And enjoy Him specifically by believing that He enjoys you. Believe it based on the status and standing that is yours because of what Christ has won for you and for all who believe in Him. Because it's believing in His enjoyment of you that will affect every other area of your life. It'll affect the way you treat other people, the way you view your circumstances and situations, the way you experience them today, the way you interpret the daily data of your life. Your spirit, your attitude, your emotions, your behavior are all affected by what you believe God believes about you. So delight yourself in the Lord's delight of you. It's easy to spend time with someone whose only agenda for you is love. Love is not only something we do for others, it's an elixir for assorted emotional and spiritual issues that we may be suffering from on a given day. In other words, when we're all messed up, sometimes the best remedy for a troubled mind and heart is to focus them on others. You can't untangle it, can't get rid of it. Sometimes the best way to deal with a troubled mind and a troubled heart is to focus on others. And Isaiah tells us this: if you spend yourselves on behalf of the hungry and satisfy the needs of the oppressed, then your light will rise in the darkness, and your night will become like the noonday. The Lord will guide you always. He will satisfy your needs in a sun-scorched land and will strengthen your frame. You will be like a well-watered garden, like a spring whose waters never fail. Let all that you do be done in love. Let all that you do be done in love. Let all that you do be done in love. And that is the wisest way, brothers and sisters, to focus our spiritual energy this year. I'm done.